Here's two guys who can handle the truth.
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
But we can. Xavier Will. Scott Goble. RX Muscle Australia proudly presents Aussie Muscle Radio. Yeah!
Welcome to another episode of Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm your host, Xavier Wills, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host and compatriot in crime, Scotty Goble. Scott, how are we doing this week?
Yeah, we're good, mate. I've had a long, long week. The big grand opening on the weekend, but it was a good weekend of bodybuilding as well, so I'm keen to get into that.
Yeah, and you're talking about the IFBB Masters Mr. Olympia contest, which is a huge, huge show. I actually ended up getting the webcast, but started getting so many ads in between and I got a bit frustrated and kind of just turned it off and watched NBA, but it was a very good show and I watched most of it and I watched the important bits, which is the main thing. So that's obviously a massive show. We've got a big show ahead of us as well. I've got Mike H. Brom Vrilic, Australia's Strongest Man, on later in the show. And that's actually a really good interview. He talks a lot about, you know, how he got into it. And he's only been into the strongman side of, I suppose, weightlifting and stuff in the past 1.5 years, so he's made some, you know, incredible strength gains. He's always been a strong guy, but he's, you know, to go from being a guy, you know, not doing strongman or anything like that, to being Australia's Strongest Man in a year and a half, 2 years, that's pretty incredible. So he's going to be on later in the show, and we're going to wrap up the Masters Olympia, and we've got a little bit of IFBB amateur news within Australia just to briefly talk about. So Scotty, we'll get into the Masters Olympia. And really, the story of the show was Dexter the Blade Jackson. He's now a Masters Olympia champion and an ex-Mr. Olympia champion in the Open. So he comes in and pretty much, I think, he blitzed the field, Scotty, for me.
I don't think there was any doubt in all the play-by-plays and wrap-ups and things that I've read and watched. Dexter was a unanimous winner, no matter who you spoke to, and he looked amazing. Maybe even better than his fourth place Olympia condition. So, yeah, Dexter took it out in some of his best condition of his life. He looked great.
Yeah, definitely. It's funny, when I look at Dexter, I actually really agreed with what Aaron said in the wrap-up video, where he said Dexter had detail in places where, you know, maybe it hasn't even come out in years, or it's maybe new detail we haven't seen before, just with the more mature muscle, and he looked a bit denser, and he's really round, and just, it was really the Blade of old. His legs, well, they started getting a bit smaller maybe the past few years, and they actually looked full again. They were hard, they were cut, and I think he just looked absolutely incredible. And I think if he was like this at the Olympia, I think he wasn't far off this at the Olympia, I don't think, but if he was maybe just a little bit closer to this at the Olympia, I think he may have even got top three. And Dave Plumber went as far as to say he might have even knocked off Kai Greene, so that's a big, big statement there. In second, I think it was a pretty, it wasn't really clear-cut. It was clear-cut, I think, in the judges' minds, but not in my mind by looking at the pictures and the video. Tony Freeman comes in second. What did you think about this choice? Do you think Ed Nunn could have, who was in fourth place, do you think he could have jumped in, jumped Tony?
Yeah, I do. I think, for me, Ed Nunn was the second-place getter, but I mean, we did our little previews last week, and it's almost as if the judges had done their preview and kind of decided that the three front runners were going to get those top three spots regardless. But for me, Ed Nunn is very comparable to Tony Freeman because they're both tall guys with that wide frame, wide shoulders and small hips and X-frame. And I just thought Ed Nunn was in better condition, had much, much bigger, more impressive quads, and I thought he was pretty full through the upper body, so where Tony normally beats him in the chest and back, I thought he looked very comparable, and I thought his strengths were more prominent than Tony. So yeah, I would have given it to him. Tony was good, but I thought his legs were a little bit down in size.
Yeah, I think Tony was conditioned from the front, and he looked like his body fat was low, but he looked from the back like he held a little bit of water, and maybe he's a little bit flat overall. But yeah, Ed Nunn just looked a lot rounder, especially in his legs. Ed Nunn's legs just look really round and full, and you know, his legs, his biceps, and all that kind of stuff, but he's really, really full and round. So he looked more he just looked kind of just bigger overall, really. I think Ed Nunn could have definitely jumped into second place, which is a big money difference in this show. I think Ed Nunn got 10 grand or something finishing fourth, when he would have got, I think it was 50 grand in second. So that's obviously got to hurt a little bit, 40 grand less US just for those two spots. We'll talk about third place finisher Dennis James. In terms of placings, it was a pretty successful comeback. In terms of how he looked, I don't think it was as successful as some people anticipated. Personally, I didn't like the way he looked. He looked rather distended, even more so than I think last time when he stood on stage. And he looked a little flat in some areas, especially his legs, Scotty.
Yeah, he did. His legs were definitely a little bit down in size. He did just look flat. He didn't have the crazy striations that you'd expect to see in DJ's chest and shoulders and things like that. So I'd say he probably tried hard to bring in the condition and as a result came in a little bit flat. I think he kind of looked almost how I expected him to. He still has that DJ roundness, but yeah, he's got the distension, and as the guys get older, it's hard for him to hang on to that leg mass. I'm sure they're all have more knee pain than I do, so it's the leg training doesn't become fun a bit later on. So I'm not that surprised. He's still got some amazing poses, but when he lifts his arm up above his head and stuff like that, his front double bar is not that great. And he just fades away a little bit. He was probably lucky to get that third place, but it's not that surprising.
Yep. Now we'll talk about fifth place finisher Ronnie Raquel. He's finished sixth in the Olympia before. He was a long way off that, I think, at this show. I think he looked all right from the front, and from the side at times he looked okay. But from the back he really, really struggled in my opinion, and his colour was way off. He looked like he needed to be a lot darker on stage. Do you think this fifth place was warranted, or do you think he should have been lower in the lineup?
No, I don't have a problem with Ronnie at fifth. I know a lot of the wrap-ups did, but I thought he looked awesome from the front. Like I thought he was maybe second in the lineup from the front. I thought he was incredible. His waist wasn't as distended. He looked very hard. His color was crap, like really, really crap. But so I could have seen him second place from the front, third place from the side, and sixth place or seventh place from the back. Or maybe even eighth or something. From the back, he looked bad, but I thought he looked so good from the front and pretty damn respectable from the side. His side chest is pretty awesome. But I honestly don't have a problem with him in fifth at all. I thought he was well and truly deserving. I thought he could have beaten DJ. I thought Ronnie was better than what his, the general consensus opinion of the play-by-plays.
Yeah, it's hard to say of a guy like that because his colour may have been even more off-putting in person. Sometimes you'll see someone on stage and then you'll see a photo of them and they look a little better, but it is hard to say. And, if I was judging it by video and pictures and stuff like that, I may have had him a few spots lower, but, yeah, perhaps not as low as some people were saying, down out of the top 10 and stuff like that. Michael Kefalionos, the Aussie Greek, finishes in sixth. What did you think of Michael Scott?
I thought he looked great. I thought he looked like the standard Kef. I think he was very deserving of his placement. Again, it's coin flip stuff. Apart from Dexter dominating, I think he could shuffle a lot of these guys around and you wouldn't hear a lot of complaining. So he looked exactly as you would expect him to look, awesome. But, he doesn't have the structure of these gifted guys in front of him. His presentation, while mildly improved, is still a little bit behind the other guys. So, he did well in a super competitive lineup and looked great, but it's hard for him to move up against the more genetically gifted dudes in front.
Yep. Now, in seventh place, it was probably a shock to a lot of people with how, in my opinion, how good he looked, and that's Darren Charles. He brought in a package that he'd probably bring in quite a few years back where he's winning a lot of the smaller shows and doing really well. What did you think of Darren? Or did you think he was just too small in his lineup?
Man, he shocked the hell out of me. I'd written Darren off after last year's show. I just didn't think he could bring that level of conditioning anymore. I thought he dropped off in size and he came in looking absolutely awesome. So, who are you going to put him in front of? Are you going to put him in front of Ronnie Raquel and Dennis James? Well, I mean, they're a hell of a lot bigger than him and still... a lot wider than him and rounder than him. So it's hard to say, it's hard to justify placing him significantly higher. But he was in great condition and deserved to be compared to those top guys. It was a great effort by Darren after a year off, and he's getting old. He must have been on the pro circuit for God knows how long.
Yeah, he's doing it for a long time, and yeah. I think with Darren, his legs, you know, you can say his legs are small, you can say his upper body isn't that big either, but when you see him posing and just the way he moves and stuff like that, he looks really, really good. Like, you kind of, you don't concentrate on the size differential so much because he's so hard and his posing is so good. So I think he can kind of outdo some of those guys. He definitely deserves to be top seven, and I think, you know, it's hard to say without seeing the comparisons much at all. He didn't really get compared to the top guys a lot. So it's hard to say what he'd look like against, you know, Dennis and Ronnie Raquel, like you said. But I could have seen him beating, you know, I thought Dennis should have been a lot lower than he was. So, you know, I could see him beating Dennis in a much smaller show, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I wish these shows, they would compare more of the guys. Like, apart from Dexter, you know, why not bring in Tony and DJ and throw them in against Kef and Darren and stuff like that? I don't see why they shouldn't get a look in. It's crazy to me that you just on the basis of that first assumption when they walk on stage, this is the first call out, and bang, it's an absolute lock for top four. It just doesn't seem right to me. I think the guys should be given the opportunity to be compared and work their way up. So it's a bit disappointing they have so few comparisons at this level.
Yeah, do you know who the head judge was at this show? Because I know Lee Thompson was there, but if he was the head judge, he normally compares the guys very well and moves them around and stuff. But it didn't seem like that was going to happen at this show, and it seemed like, you know, they kind of, once they called the groups, that's how it was kind of going to be.
Yeah, I have no idea who the head judge was. I'm not sure if they had time constraints or if Bikini went over or what happened. But it's a little disappointing that those guys didn't get a chance.
We'll talk about 8th place finisher Bill Wilmore. He was a guy that you expected to do well, Scotty. What do you think went wrong for Bill, or do you just think it was a tougher lineup?
He just didn't bring his super hard condition. He wasn't absolutely dialed in through the glutes and stuff, which he typically is. So he just blew it. I don't know if he just couldn't carry on from the Olympia. He had a real long competitive season with the Toronto, the Olympia, and now this. So maybe he just couldn't hold it together. So yeah, Bill deserved the spot he got. He didn't. He still got an amazing, amazing torso, and he was still in good condition, but just not the great condition that I was anticipating him to be.
Yeah, I agree. He's in good condition, but without being, the shredded granite hard Bill Wilmore, he really needs to be to be up there with those other guys. Troy Alves finishes in ninth. Troy's condition was good. I think, like you said, Scott, he has problems from behind with his glute and hamstring areas. But they weren't crazy soft or anything like that. I think they looked all right. With his age, though, they didn't look, if, you know, his glutes were kind of looking a bit flat and they just didn't have that granite hardness. Do you think Troy deserved this placing, or do you think he could have been higher or lower, or what do you think, Scott?
I don't rate him that highly. I don't think he could have been higher. There's no way I've seen him beating any of the guys in front of him. Man, there's so many good guys in this lineup. I could see him being compared to Condemetriou, you know, who didn't even place. Troy, to me, if you compare him to every single person ahead of him, he's a little bit light on for muscle. His lower body lags a little bit behind. His hamstrings and glutes are, you know, a little bit atrophied or just not developed enough. And his conditioning is very, very good from the front and the upper body, but his condition was pretty damn good all over, but he just doesn't have the muscle and balance to hang with those other guys, in my opinion.
Yeah. Now, we had Triggy Jackson in 11th, which, he looked really good. He was hard, but Lee Banks actually fell to 12th and fell behind Triggy. Do you think that was a bad decision?
Lee, I don't know if Lee was flat or something. He just didn't show what I expected him to show from, what was it, a Europa show or something like that, where I thought he looked fantastic. He didn't look that great, but I think he's a very genetically gifted and has a beautiful shape and structure, and I thought he could have pushed up a little bit higher, but it's a pretty deep top 10, 12, so you know, someone's got to cop the cop a rough deal, and I guess Lee got it.
Yeah, we had Nathan Wands in 13th, we had Jerome Ferguson in 14th, we had Big Sean Allen in 15th, which I think cracking the top 16 for him, or top 15 for him, is a big achievement based on how big the lineup was. I want to talk about Con Demetriou, who I think he brought his best package ever by a long way, because Con always seems to be just a tiny bit off of condition. His colour doesn't always seem to be right. His presentation has let him down in the past and things like that. And he's kind of always just been on the outside looking in. People have always said they like his physique, you know, he's got big arms, all that kind of stuff. But I think he really put it all together for him in this show, and I thought it was his best package ever.
I thought he looked good. I thought he looked conditioned, and he very rarely looks conditioned. He always looks like he's competing at 3 or 4 weeks out. So, yeah, I thought he looked great. I think he definitely deserves to be like a Big Sean Allen or someone like that. I have no idea how he got a placing against a physique like Cons, who is pretty complete. So, yeah, disappointing he didn't get recognised for his efforts there. I thought he looked good. I thought he could have been anywhere from 15th to 9th.
Yeah, I think Con was amazing. I thought he could have, you know, I think he could have been up to 9th, like you said, maybe even 8th. And I think from this show, I think he'll get more credit because it was such a big show. And Dave Palumbo said he was incredibly impressed with him. I've heard other people say this, similar kind of statements. So I think going forward, if he comes into some more small shows looking like this, all he needs is a subpar kind of lineup looking like this, and he can crack a top 3 or something, I think. And if his presentation improves, then, you know, the sky's the limit for Con, I reckon, and just because he's got the good shapes and the awesome physique, and if he can show it off better, then it would definitely work in his favour. That's about it for the men's lineup. In the fitness, we had Natalie Plains winning. I wasn't that impressed with her physique. I know you probably haven't checked this out, Scotty, but her routine was awesome, so she wins the pro fitness here.
She was listed as an Australian native.
Really?
Yeah, Tony Doherty read it out this morning, and I was like, really? And he was like, really? So I don't know where he got that from, which board, but might have been RX, I'm not sure. But
who said it?
I'm not sure. I just know Tony read it while he was reviewing the show this morning. So do you know what nationality she's listed as? It doesn't say, does it, on the competitors?
I'm not sure. I can have a look, but I'll have a look in the break, and then we'll come back to that. But yeah, her routine was phenomenal, but outside of that, it was kind of hard to judge because I only saw a few of her routines. So we'll move on to the figure. Candice Lewis, I think, dominates this lineup. She is absolutely incredible. She has, in my opinion, probably the best, if not one of the best, figure physiques in the world. Apparently, she has a 19-inch waist, according to, or 18-inch waist, or something ridiculous, according to Dave Palumbo. And I would normally say call bullshit on that, but her waist is so tiny, it makes her shoulders look about 3 times the width. So I wouldn't dispel that too quickly. What do you think of Candice, Scotty? I know you're a big fan.
Yeah, I'll call bullshit on the 18 or 19 inch waist, firstly, but it is tiny. It looks tiny when she's standing by herself, but when she's standing with the other girls, it looks even smaller. So it's not much over 20, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I think she's amazing. I don't know what to do with her against Erin Stern or something like that. Like, you can't fault her. Like, she's got crazy shapes and sweeps and tiny joints and everything else, but it's almost a cartoonish body. It's almost too good. I don't know how to say it. It's weird. And Erin and Nicole look a little bit more like athletes, whereas she just looks like a doll or something, a Barbie doll or something weird.
Someone actually quoted her as a black Barbie doll. So she's got like amazing skin. And just her overall look, she looks like a black Barbie doll.
Yeah. So, I don't really know what to do with her against those top girls, but yeah, she could win the Olympia. If she won the Olympia, you couldn't really argue with it. I know Tony's working hard. He rates her highly. He's working hard to get her out for the Aussie figure Grand Prix. So hopefully we get to see her in the flesh. But apparently she's won now 5 or 6 pro shows this year. I think with this show she tied the record of Erin Stern and Nicole Wilkins-Lee of 5 pro show wins in a year. So she's pretty highly rated.
That's incredible. Yeah, I knew she won a few pro shows. I didn't know she had won that many. And she definitely deserves it too, because if she's stepping into lineups that doesn't have Erin Stern or Nicole Wilkins in it, then she should, she should definitely deserve those wins. Camila Macko comes in second. I think she's also pretty amazing. But she's a little bit harder and perhaps a little bit more muscular than Candice Lewis. But she looks more like an Erin Stern or something look, not so much of a cartoonish kind of look of Candice Lewis. But so, yeah, it was a good top group there in the figure. In the bikini, India Paulino, she comes in and wins. She was kind of a shoo-in for this show. Many people thought she'd win. And Lacey DeLuca in second, and I'm not even sure how to say, Uralis Gonzalez in third, who Aaron Singerman thought should have won, but he may be biased as he's friends with her, so I don't know. And that's it for the 2012 Masters Mr. Olympia wrap-up, Scotty. And do you want to talk about the IFBB amateur news now, or should we leave it for after the break?
Oh, we've got enough to talk about. We can do it now. I think a lot of people have seen the newsletter that came out, which had some amended rules to eligibility of the pro qualifier. And at this stage, you have to have won an Open Australia or Australasia title. But you and I have both spoken to Tony, and he said just hold on to your seats. Maybe a couple of amendments to that rule. But at this stage, there's nothing to confirm. But he's maybe sort of working in the background to alter things ever so slightly to make it fair for all the athletes since this notice has come through rather late.
Yeah, so some of these guys would have been in their prep, and I guess their sole reason for doing, well, guys and girls rather, some of their sole reason for doing that is to, maybe if they're even on the outside, maybe, you know, kind of an outside chance of getting a pro card, that may be their sole reason for doing it, you know what I mean? It might be their motivation for doing it. So as it did come, you know, 40 weeks out, some people start their prep early. So I know you, if you hadn't won your Australian title, Scotty, I know you probably would have been disappointed in a sense, you know, not being able to have that chance. So
if I hadn't won an Australian title, I would have thought there'd be no right for me to be battling for a pro card.
That's true. Each to their own, though, and I understand if people have done, you know, other comps and have done other IFBB comps and done well, they just haven't kind of won the Australian title, then perhaps they'd be disappointed. But I understand both sides of the coin as well. I understand that they want to make the nationals, you know what I mean? They want to make it kind of the number one show of the year, and they want that to kind of be, well, you know, not what the nationals is in the US, which is pretty much the pinnacle. There's nothing close to it kind of thing. You've got nationals, USAs and stuff, but they're kind of the pinnacles. I understand they want to keep that there, and they want the nationals to be the standard. For where guys come through in the amateurs, guys and girls, and then FedEx is obviously what you go on to after that. And the rule did come in a little bit late, so I understand what Tony's doing, and I think it's for the best. I think we're going to get a good outcome overall.
Oh, I'm sure we'll get a good outcome overall. I don't think Tony doesn't have any issue with the rules that are handed down from Paul and Carol Graham. I think it's the timing of this change that is the issue here. I think he absolutely agrees that you should have a national title. You should and you should be blooded on that level and prove yourself to be worthy of competition in the pro qualifier. So I know Tony's got absolutely no issue with the rules, but I think it's just due to the timing of it that maybe he'd like to see something done or some flexibility for at least this upcoming pro qualifier in 2013.
Yeah, for sure. And on that note, Scotty, we'll head to a break and we'll be back in 2 minutes for your Ask Scotty segment.
paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market? Then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition. 100% Australian owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at bioflexnutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm here with Scott Goble, and we're here for his Ask Scotty segment. Scott, are we ready?
I am ready.
Excellent. As always, Scotty, now we'll start with Lee Carmichael, who's been sending through a few questions of late. Lee asks, Scotty, what's the beef with you and Adam Dowling? Adam Dowling is the man who won the over 100 kilo and I suppose took the reins of your title for this year, Scotty, at the IFBB Nationals.
Yes, he took out the weakest super heavyweight class in history. So congratulations to Adam for that. There's no real beef there. I mean, I'm getting ready to compete against guys like Luke Shimbri and potentially Gary Wright and a few other guys like David Cutler, so it's pretty unlikely that I'd be too concerned with a bodybuilder of the caliber of Adam Dowling.
Is it solely competitive, the kind of beef, or is there any personal?
I wouldn't have thought that there was any competitiveness between the two of us. Personally, I've stood on stage with him once. I was in the first call out and won the show. He was in the last call out and probably came about eighth or ninth. So, yeah, in terms of the competitive nature, I think we're on a different level altogether. And he, for some reason, unbeknownst to anyone with any knowledge of actual bodybuilding criteria, probably considers himself to be on par with me, or perhaps even superior, but that would probably indicate a delusionite mentality more than anything else.
I love your answer there, Scotty. Lee says, does Scotty think Mr. Lucky Hats Pantelis is legitimate about getting back into training / competing? And he says, personally, I would love to see it.
I'd love to see it too. Lucky's got one of my favourite physiques in Australian bodybuilding. He probably would be a pro by now, or would certainly be a front runner for the pro qualifier next year had he continued on. Is he serious about it? Probably not. He hasn't really trained for a year. He's just getting back into it. He's Lucky's the sort of guy that likes to post a status one day about attention seekers on Facebook, and then the next day do some attention seeking on Facebook. So I doubt Lucky's serious. I'll believe it when he looks amazing again. And at the moment, he's got some pretty good wheels and some resemblance of a trained upper body.
Yep. Lucky's very sporadic with his Facebook posts, but I do like Lucky. I've actually just put up a video, part two of a video, where Lucky kicks the shit out of me on legs, basically, and makes me very sick and very sore.
Lucky is a very, very good trainer. He's always motivated, always motivating his clients. He knows his stuff. He's analytical. I really, really rate Lucky as a trainer. I think if he could step back and emotionally detach himself from his own body and just train himself like he would a client, he would be an absolute world beater.
Yep, definitely. Lucky certainly has, like you said, he has the physique. He's got all the tools to be a pro. He just needs that mindset, and he just needs to, just nail down and just keep going and not get unmotivated, I guess. Anyway, we'll move on, and we'll move on to the next question. Ben P. Muir says, Scott, what are your views on DC training, aka dog crap training? I know you have stated a bit on training, but just wondering. And then he says, if you don't know what it's about, it's basically a progressive overload.
Yeah, I see DC training much like I see any other form of training, effective if you apply discipline and effort and consistency, but only effective for a period of time. I think you can take a training principle a long, long way, but progressive overload as your primary goal for a long period of time will probably result in some injuries. But having said, I know DC training is more than what people realize it is, and if you get like the originator of it, Dante, to do your programs, you do actually have deload phases in it. You do mix up the volume a little bit. It's not just rest pause training, but look, I think if you look at the basics of it with the myofascial stretching and the rest pause, yeah, it'll be effective. If you commit yourself to it and apply it 100%, back it up with all the other little variables like nutrition and rest, there's absolutely no reason you can't make some gains on it. So if it appeals to your mentality, going for that heavy weight, doing the rest pause, low volume, then by all means, go for it.
Yeah, and obviously the biggest advocate of that was one of the biggest names, I suppose, that, you know, really praised DC training is David Henry. And he's got one of the densest physiques going around, one of his crazy back, got a crazy back, crazy chest, and just he's really probably thick really everywhere. So he's obviously used that. And like you said, the stretching and all that kind of stuff, that kind of appeals to me a bit. And I've thought about doing it before, but I haven't actually done it. So, Scotty, we'll move on to the last question. This is just from me. Scott, what is your workout playlist like? What's your favourite kind of music to train to and all that kind of stuff?
I just train to cliche, hard rock, heavy metal. So there's a bit of Disturbed. There's a lot of Rage Against the Machine. If I'm doing something horrible, some sort of leg superset, then I'll be pumping Killing in the Name of by Rage Against the Machine on repeat, and just gutting my way through it. So it's that. It's a bit of Gunners on there. Just typical stuff that you would expect from someone of my age group, I guess.
Very stereotypical, Scotty. Yeah. I've got a playlist for Legs, like every week, which is normally the, like you said, like the more, I suppose, hardcore type music, just the heavier stuff. And then I've got my playlist for the rest of the week, which is a combination of that and other music. So that's what I always do. And I don't know if it's because I want to train Legs harder or than everything else or what it is, but I think you need that extra motivation for Legs. So
well, I always do. If I ever forget my, you know, iPhone speakers or something like that now, I feel like I can't train. Like, I absolutely don't know how I actually lived before it. It makes a huge difference. If someone was open that had speakers, I would delay my workout by 20 minutes, go buy some new speakers and come back and train rather than train without them.
I'm exactly the same way now, Scotty. Like, especially for legs. If it was legs, I wouldn't care how much money the speakers would cost. I would just buy them no matter what, because I know I'd probably have a shit training session unless I was training with someone else could push me, not someone just, you know, not any just, like, not just an average kind of training of a gym. If I was training with a mate or something like that, but it was, you know, into bodybuilding or heavily into training, then I could do it, but not if I'm by myself.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. A couple of times I've done some photo shoots and stuff like that, and I've thought it'd be rude for me to walk around with headphones in and completely ignore them. So I've trained without them, but even then I don't like it. It's mandatory. It's more important than my straps and belt, that's for sure.
Cool. All right, Scotty. Now we'll end this section of a radio show. We'll be back in 2 minutes with the H-Bomb interview of the week, and then after that we'll wrap up the show.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at massnutrition.com.au. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market, then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition. 100% Australian owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at BioFlexNutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. Now, we're normally joined by bodybuilders on this radio show, but this week we're joined by Australia's strongest man, Mike H-Bomb Vrilic. Mike, how you doing?
Yeah, not bad. How you doing, mate?
Very well, very well. Now, like I said at the start, when I introduced you, we don't normally have, we normally have bodybuilders or someone in that kind of industry on, and you are kind of in the industry. You competed at the Giants Live last year, which was obviously a massive thing in FedEx, which was obviously associated with the pro bodybuilding show, and you placed ninth there. You've done numerous comps now in the short amount of time you've been in the strongman realm. Now, we'll just start getting kind of what's your biggest lifts, like what are, like, you know, deadlifts and all that kind of stuff, and also your biggest kind of, I suppose, feats of strength within the strongman realm.
Well, our biggest lifts now, due to my training, I don't do a contemporary squat as such. I usually use a box squat. So at the moment, my maximum box squat's at 300 kilos. That's for a single. For a deadlift, I haven't actually tested out my max because most of the actual strongman deadlift events require multiple reps for time. So most of my deadlifting is done for reps. But however, maximum deadlift on a grass surface, and it was a deficit deadlift on a really solid bar, not a deadlift bar. It was a 330, which went up very quickly. So,
wow.
I'd be confident in the 350, 360 there lingering if I was to test train up for a one rep max, definitely.
That's pretty massive. Well, what kind of like have you done like truck pulls and things like that? What's the heaviest kind of thing you've done in that regard?
Well, it's at the amateur comps we did in Brisbane, Redcliffe, the Amateur Australian Strongman Championship, we pulled a 32-ton truck, which was two prime movers. Plus, each prime mover had a set of three axles, so you had inertia, the axles to overcome, which was quite grueling. But a lot of the most fascinating strongman events, for example, the truck pulls and the keg throws. Usually it's a lot more technique based rather than pure strength, brute strength. I'd definitely say the stones is a probably true show of brute strength in strongman, by far.
Yep. Now, what kind of weight stones are you lifting?
Well, just various in competitions, but you can vary from you usually do a sequence of five stones, load them up to a single level platform or multiple level platforms, varies from 100 kilos all the way through to 180 kilo stone here in Australia's comps. And the maximum stone I've lifted is 181 kilos, and I've done that on multiple reps for five reps with no dramas whatsoever. So stones are definitely my forte. Helps having a basketball background, I tell you.
Yeah, and now when you're mentioning your lifts as well, like the box squats and all that, You're a tall guy. Well, how tall are you, and how much do you weigh, and all that?
Yeah, I'm 6'5" at the moment. My weight fluctuates depending on the comp. At the moment, I'm just cutting down before I start bulking up for Giants. But if the more brute strength kind of strongman competition, I'll go up to about 145. Try to hit 150 kilos. If it's more of a if you require more conditioning and more reps, then I'll drop back to about 138 to 140 kilos, and that seems to work very well for myself. Of course, those weights will go up every year as your lean muscle mass goes up, but that's what I try to stay at the moment.
Yeah. Now, before this interview, I tried to get a bit of information on you, and you told me a few things. And one of the things you told me was you were bullied growing up in school. Now, a lot of guys that tend to be into bodybuilding or into weightlifting or into those kind of MMA or, you know, those power sports, a lot of them actually have the same kind of story. Do you think this is what kind of got you into the weight training and eventually into strongman?
Well, I think it's a very interesting topic. You know, with bullying, with especially in today's social media network, you know, I've kind of pondered on this quite a fair bit. You know, when I was younger, there was no social media; it was more face to face. And you know, one thing I really do believe, you know, it's a part of human nature. You know, if you're not part of a certain crew, a clan, or what have you, you're always going to be pushed aside, and so forth, and you know, ridiculed because I think it's just in human nature. You never get rid of that in you know, humanity. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, is coping with it and dealing with it and just accepting who you are, and that was the biggest thing. And once I accepted who I was and it kind of grew me as a person, I kind of ignored the bullies, the taunts and so forth. I kind of learned to ignore that. Then the next phase was to prevent depression coming on, which I think a lot of younger people have the problem with, is that gets stored in emotionally deep inside. And that's where I think sports and lifting weights is a method of extinguishing that potential for depression. You know, and then you release it in a form of energy. You know, you explode it like a bomb, and that's I think, you know, my background in basketball and then the weights and lifting, that's definitely been the savior from going down the path of depression after being bullied for many years in high school, predominantly about my weight, my background being a Croatian and so forth. So you know, That's my true belief on what doing strongman has really done for me. Just it's prevented the onset of depression and just you know, and being so far very successful in what I do. It's just also built your own inner confidence in yourself, and it's also kind of that protective mechanism also for future if you ever have problems in the future, you learn to deal with it.
Yep, sure. Now, do you think, was it your Croatian background, or was it that you were overweight, or what as a kid? What was the reasoning for the bullying?
It was multiple. You know, you know, I had red hair. That was one of the aspects. Always teased about my hair, my weight. I was very overweight when I was younger in primary school, and also just Croatian. I went to primary school not knowing a word of English.
Well, that must have been tough, like, especially as a young... how old were you then?
Oh, this was in primary school, you know, from grade five, straight from onset from primary school, from grade prep. So I went to grade prep not knowing one word of English. So I was, you know, literally speaking to teachers in Croatian, and when they were speaking to me in English, I knew basic words, but I couldn't really communicate with anyone. That was already kind of a signal to taunt me and so forth, you know. As soon as people saw that I was a loner at school, didn't have friends and so forth, I was an automatic target.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you mentioned you're from Croatia. My ex-girlfriend was actually from Croatia, and I've seen photos of it, and I haven't heard a lot about it before, and it's actually a really beautiful place. There's a lot of islands and all that kind of stuff. Do you visit there much now?
Yeah, I do. I haven't been for about... since 2009, but from about 2002 onwards to 2009, I went every year during the summer season. Catch up with friends, family, and so forth. I got a holiday house there, so yeah, it's absolutely a beautiful place. Beautiful, you know. If someone wants to go and party, they got that. If someone wants to relax, they have that too. So I'd recommend anyone to go there.
Yep, I'd definitely love to go to Croatia one day. Now we'll get into how long you've been actually training with weights, and how long you've been training for strongman specifically for. So how long have you been doing weights for?
I started weight training, it's a good question, probably when I was about 19 years old, so about 11 years ago, but I was one of those casual YMCA gym goers. I'd go to the gym 6 months and then not train for 6 months, so whatever gains I had, they weren't permanent, I'd lose it straight after. It wasn't until I went to Croatia in 2006 and I met a professional bodybuilder there, and he taught me how to eat, the diet, and how to train correctly. And that's where I actually had a very big interest in bodybuilding initially. So that's when I started eating correctly, training correctly and so forth, and I saw the results coming through. And
do you remember the bodybuilder's name?
His name is Damir. can't remember his actual surname, but his name's Damit. He's a professional bodybuilder in Croatia. He's a professional in Croatia. Competes in IFBB around Europe at the moment. He hasn't reached the big leagues at the moment. Okay. He's very, very short stature bodybuilder, very good bodybuilder, you know, very, very, very aesthetic and so forth. So, I was training at his gym. He taught me about supplementation and so forth. So that was probably my biggest kick. And that continued on for a few. I took that with me, took it back home with me, took that training mentality and the way to eat healthy and so forth for a few years. And I found that when I was training at whichever gym I went to, I could lift the most. I could deadlift the most. I could, you know, do the biggest lat pulls, use the biggest dumbbells. I always seemed to be up there within a few weeks with the strongest guys at the gym, could lift the biggest weights. And it wasn't until my trip to Perth, which I met Gary Wright, and the bodybuilder Gary Wright, a good friend of mine, where he recommended that I start doing strongman. So, I watched it on TV. I never knew there was even a Strongman Federation in Australia. So I did my research and there we go. A year and a half ago, I started doing my strongman training.
That's insane that, a year and a half ago, you started the strongman training. How long after that did you win Australia's Strongest Man?
Well, it was after I finished training, I won Australia's Strongest Man. This was it was the last weekend of November this year. It was the first time I ever competed Australia's Strongest Man, and I won the competition. Basically a year and a half of training and won Australia's Strongest Man, which was quite a feat.
Yeah, of course, definitely, especially after only being in the sport for such a short period of time. Now you've won that, how is that competition actually run? Is it like the World's Strongest Man, like you'll compete to qualify for it, and then you get, you know, points for different events, or is it a combination of competitions and then the points are added up?
Well, this competition this year the FASC, which is a governing body for strongman in Australia, they introduced a grading system called Strength Quest, what this Strength Quest is, you must complete a log lift, a deadlift, the yoke walk, and a farmer's walk at certain weights. And depending on your weight category, there are given weights to achieve a certain level of grading. And if you achieve an Elite 1 level, the highest level is Elite 2, but the one underneath that is Elite 1, you automatically get an invite to go to Australia's Strongest Man. And these gradings are held all around the country in many gyms, all around Australia, in Brisbane, in Melbourne, Definition 352 holds in Melbourne, Newcastle, and also Daniel Macri and Jordan Stefan holds them in Adelaide and also in Perth. So it's a really good system. Everyone can give it a shot and see where they're ranked amongst all the strong men at their weight category. And yeah, basically you receive an invite from there. And then once you receive the invite, it's just a waiting game until the strongman competition is announced, the dates are announced, the events are announced, and you just continue training as you would.
Yep, so it's just one strongman competition and then obviously the points from the different events there.
Correct. Yeah, it's a two-day, Australia's Strongest Man, it's a two-day event, and there were seven events this year. There was three events in the first day. The first event was a 22-ton semi-trailer truck pull over 20 metres. Second event was a yoke walk, 430 kilos over 25 metres. And the third event was axle deadlift of 315 kilos for reps. And of the top 12 people in the heavyweights, only the top eight would go through to day two. And the day two had four events, which included a farmer's walk, an overhead press, Viking press, 135 kilos, the keg toss, five kegs over a five-meter barrier, and also the Atlas stones to complete the event.
Yep, excellent. Now, Derek Boyer, he was the winner, I believe, years before you. How do you think you would have stacked up against him if he was in the lineup this year?
I've actually been asked this a few times. It's very hard to kind of judge how you go with past winners. It would have been a good sight. You know, I think I specialize in my events. He specializes in his events, and I think it just comes down to the competition. Now there were four events at this competition that I was very confident at obtaining good points at. So I think this comp suited me better than it would have Derek Boyer. But in the past, other competitions, you know, Derek would probably pick me.
Yeah, for sure. Good answer. What's your goals from here? Like, you've obviously won Australia's Strongest Man. Is it to continue winning this, or is it to go on to hopefully compete in the World's Strongest Man?
Well, I'm going to continue with Australia's Strongest Man, of course. You know, I want to retain my title another at least a few times. Competing World's Strongest Man, it's been a dream. It's been a dream. Even when I was doing bodybuilding, I always said that would be so cool to do, but I never thought I'd be able to do that, you know, lift the weights and everything. But I always thought it would be so cool to actually, you know, compete World's Strongest Man on the world stage. I think it's absolutely amazing. So with past history, the winner of Australia's Strongest Man does get an invite to World's Strongest Man. However, with Giants Live, those rules have changed. I'm unsure of the rules at the moment. There is still a chance I might compete at next year's World's Strongest Man. So it's just a waiting game and just continue training and compete at Giants Live and do the best I can at Giants Live in March.
Yep. So is it set up so a certain amount qualify from the Giants Live, or like a certain, like top three or top two? Or
well, it's the top three all go through to Giants to the World's Strongest Man as per last year. However, there was two more tickets given to two more individuals, which was the highest ranking Australian, and also the competitor who won the Southern Hemisphere Strongest Man, which was Frankie Schoen from South Africa. So there was actually five competitors who from the Melbourne's Giants Life who went through to the World's Strongest Man last year.
Yep. Okay, cool. Now, would you ever consider moving on from a strongman, the strongman sport, considering you've done so well, obviously, already? I did read in another interview you've done, you'd consider competing in bodybuilding or something like that. Would you consider that, or is that just kind of off the cards now you've won Australia's Strongest Man?
Yeah, well, I was going to compete in bodybuilding last year. I had an injury after my first strongman comp, the doctors couldn't diagnose, which was a problem, which was a strain in the bicep. And I found that the bodybuilding exercise really worked to help relieve that pain, so I thought I might as well do a bodybuilding comp. This was last year. However, I won Australia's Strongest Man, so I'm definitely going to continue with strongman and only strongman. I wouldn't mind one day testing the waters with powerlifting. I did say if I didn't win Australia's Strongest Man this year that I would do the GPC powerlifting comp for next year. However, those plans have changed already dramatically. So, powerlifting is definitely something I'd look into one day. I'm definitely just stuck in strongman at the moment. I'm definitely remaining where I am at the moment.
Yeah, but there's more opportunity in strongman rather than powerlifting, but unless you're obviously one of the top powerlifters. Now, what do you do outside of strongman training and competitions and all that kind of stuff?
I work two jobs. One, my parents have a printing firm, which I help assist there. A lot of admin work there. And also I work as a commercial pilot, and I fly down to Tassie quite regularly, where you're from, mate.
Yeah. What do you do? Whereabouts do you fly, all that kind of stuff?
I predominantly fly to King Island, but we also fly down to Strawn, Smithton, Wynyard, Devonport, and Launceston quite regularly. So we're a passenger carrier, small twin-engine aircraft, so 10 passengers, and we fly regular public transport through to those destinations.
Very cool. Now, obviously, it's a small plane you fly. Have you ever been stuck in any kind of scary situations, you know, in weather or anything?
Actually, not down here, down south. I used to, my first job was flying in Alice Springs, which I flew to numerous Aboriginal communities, flying the Indigenous population from the main town of Alice Springs through to the communities. And then I was having a flight test up in Darwin with one of the companies, and I was stuck in a thunderstorm for about 20 seconds, which was not pretty. So, especially with the northern storms up there during the wet season, it can get quite rough. So, that was my life definitely flashed before my eyes within the 5-10 seconds of terror.
Yeah, definitely. I can imagine that. Now, do you have trouble fitting in one of these planes? Because I've seen, from ones I've seen, they don't have a lot of room in the cockpit.
Yeah, I do. I'm very lucky because the flights that we conduct there are now a maximum. So once we land, I can get out of the aircraft and stretch my legs because, if there are 3-4 hour sectors, I would really, really struggle. Usually it's like watching a Cirque du Soleil circus act, seeing me fold myself into one of these small cockpits. And usually I use my hands to grab one leg and push it in and force it in. It's quite comical, but and the passengers have a laugh when they see how big I am and how I fit in the cockpit. But once I'm in there for an hour, I'm quite snug. But after that, the back can start hurting and the knees can start hurting, especially with all the training that I do.
Did you used to do those bigger flights?
I used to when I was in Alice Springs. However, the planes that I were flying, the seats were larger and they were different. It was a different aircraft. They only fitted 6 passengers. However, the cockpit was much more roomy and was much wider. So I found it was much more comfortable and I could quite easily fly for 5-6 hours in those seats, no dramas.
Yeah, for sure. Now, you will be at Giants Live at FitX this year, obviously, as we mentioned before. And you mentioned your friends of Gary Wright. He's going to be doing the FedEx amateur competition and hopefully getting into that pro qualifier and winning the Open. Do you think Gary is a shoo-in to win his pro card? If there's been a bit of talk about the rules lately, I think that's going to be changed around a bit. Do you think Gary will be a shoo-in if he competes against the likes of my co-host Scott Goble and Luke Shembri, or do you think it's going to be a kind of close battle?
I know Scott Goble quite well. I've seen Luke Shembri. They all have some great packages on them. They're absolutely brilliant bodybuilders. However, I find it very difficult going past Gary Wright. I've seen him recently in person, and it's going to be when people are going to see him, they're going to get very, very scared. He's ridiculously large, especially for his small frame. Even with photos in the past where he's next to Phil Heath and, Johnny Jackson and so forth, he has a lot more fit. He has in some areas more thickness than these guys. He's got the symmetry. It honestly just comes down to who's going to be what the judge is looking for. Are they looking for just mass? Or they're going to look for definition. That's all it comes down to. It's going to be basically a judge's decision. But I know if Gary brings his A game in regard to definition and so forth, and his size, he's going to be a very hard man to beat, even in the pro show. He'll be definitely top 5 in the pro show, I'd say.
Be cool. I can't wait to see Gary and what he looks like on stage. And I've been impressed with him in the past when he competed at the 2011, I want to say. IFBB Nationals, or maybe 2010. He looked absolutely amazing then, so I'm looking forward to seeing the gains he's made and him up on that FedEx stage. Now, we've mentioned before, I'm not sure if actually we mentioned this interview, but you're a Biflex Nutrition-sponsored athlete. I just want to get an idea of what's your kind of favourite supplement and what kind of supplements you use, I suppose, like off-season compared to preparing for a comp or...
Well, with Strongman, there's no our off season, on season supplements are exactly the same. Yeah. my favorite, I love the Hydroflex. The vanilla Hydroflex is absolute awesome tasting protein, and especially when you make protein pancakes and things, they're absolutely awesome. But in regard to my supplement nutrition with Bioflex, the Bioflex brand, it's I make my. I don't believe in any pre-workouts, post-workout drinks, and what I love about Bioflex, they have all the individual compounds available. So your creatine, your glutamine, and so forth. And what I, my my pre-workout drink is something that I make myself. So it's a carbs with creatine, glutamine. I put some beta-alanine and L-leucine inside and some and Recovery X. And I have that before, midway through workout and after workout. And I have also the HydroFlex before my workout, midway through my workout, and at the end of my workout. So it's a series of six shakes that I have.
Wow, that's massive. Yeah. And HydroFlex, for people that don't know out there, is a hydrolyzed whey protein isolate. And it's obviously got, casein hydrolysates in there as well. So it's a fast-absorbing protein, so you can have it before you work out and during your workout and after you work out like you do. Definitely a great product. And all the other products are definitely very good as well. Yeah, now, do you have...
I can't say enough. BioFlex is absolutely awesome. You know, a lot of people say a lot of things about Australian proteins, but in terms of quality and also taste, I cannot fault BioFlex one little bit. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, and the thing about a lot of hydrolyzed proteins is they either taste bad or the actual percentage of how hydrolyzed it is very low, and the BioFlex one is actually quite high, and it still tastes awesome. So I don't know how they do it, but they seem to always make things taste good, and obviously the quality is very high. Now, do you have any other sponsors you'd like to thank?
Well, also BioFlex, first and foremost. You know, without BioFlex, I wouldn't have won Australia's Strongest Man by far. You know, their supplements, you know, got me through my grueling workouts, you know, even through small muscle tears and so forth, you know, just got me through the healing process quicker by, definitely. Glenn Kinder, massage therapies, without his absolutely awesome massage therapies, I wouldn't be competing in what I'm doing. I wouldn't be walking. I'll thank Elite Sports Performance in Spotswood, Melbourne. Probably it's probably the best powerlifting gym in Australia, I'd say. It's absolutely incredible. The guys there, Marty Gervin and the boys, are absolutely so knowledgeable. You know, any questions I need in regard to my program, my strength training, they're very close liaison with Louis Simmons at Westside Barbell, so it's always a phone call or email away if there's any questions that need answered. So I get really good support there. George Mariolis and Carla Gamble at Definition 352, where I do all my actual strongman training. Without their support and, you know, without their assistance and their advice, you know, in regards to coming into the contest and everything, you know, I wouldn't have won ASM by far. Bill Linden, FASC. And yeah, all my training partners, all the whole crew there, Gary Wright and everything, my wife Stephanie, you guys in support, so forth. It's been a very short journey, but it's been a great journey so far. So thank everyone.
Yeah, you've got a massive list there of people to thank there, Mike. I want to let everyone know that I should watch out for you in the next few years, because you've only been doing this for a year and a half, so I imagine in a few years you'll probably be on that World's Strongest Man stage and absolutely dominating for Australia. So I want to thank you for being on the show, Mike.
Yep.
And I wish you the best in the future.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me, mate.
No worries at all. That's Mike H-Bomb Vrilic, Australia's Strongest Man.
Paying inflated prices for products which are full of hype and fillers? At Bulk Nutrients, you get the purest products available direct from our factory. There are no middlemen, contractors, distributors, or shopfronts. Bulk Nutrients stocks protein, carbs, aminos, pre-workout recovery, encapsulated products, fat burners, test boosters, and so much more. Bulk Nutrients is 100% Australian-owned and operated, and will give you higher quality and better prices guaranteed. So visit bulknutrients.com.au. It's your one-stop shop. Mass Nutrition is Australia's premier sports supplement provider, with over 13 stores Australia-wide, stocking everything from protein powders and pre-workout mixes to weightlifting accessories and gym apparel. Mass Nutrition covers all your fitness needs. Owned and operated independently by Australia's best bodybuilders, you know you're not only getting the best brands at the best prices, but you're getting truly expert advice as well. Fuel your fire at one of our Mass Nutrition retail outlets or shop online at MassNutrition.com.au. International Protein is an Australian company owned by qualified food scientist, IFBB Pro, and three-time world champion Christine Enville. At International Protein, we don't believe in selling overhyped or fad products, so you can be assured that if a product has our name on it, the formulation has been developed based on the latest nutritional research in the field of strength and conditioning performance. At the core of International Protein, there are five key principles: taste, quality, affordability, results, and flexibility. Christine Enville is proud to share her successful nutritional formulations with people who are serious about their body, their sport, and their performance, so they too can reach their ultimate goals. Look for International Protein in all good health food and supplement stores. Editor-in-Chief of RX Muscle Australia, Xavier Wills, is an amateur bodybuilder who's won state titles and competed on the national level. He's been competing since the age of 16 and wants to bring his knowledge to you. Xavier offers full off-season and contest preparation plans at affordable prices to get you shredded and ready to hit the stage without sacrificing that hard-earned muscle. Xavier keeps in constant contact with his clients and offers text message support, weekly Skype or phone calls, and personalized assessments to keep you on track and get the results you desire. You can contact Xavier Wills on his official Facebook page by searching for his name. You can also find Xavier on rxmuscle.com.au, or you can send him an email at xavierwills@rxmuscle.com.au. Get in shape now. Contact Xavier Wills today. Are you looking for some of the most groundbreaking, highest quality nutritional supplements on the market? Then look no further than BioFlex Nutrition. 100% Australian owned and direct from the manufacturer. You'll get some of the most pure and affordable supplements offered today. Better yet, with no proprietary blends or fillers, and by including only the best ingredients, we proudly bring to the market Australia's purest range of supplements. Find us online at BioFlexNutrition.com.au. BioFlex Nutrition, Australia's purest supplements. That's BioFlex, ready to go.
Welcome back to Aussie Muscle Radio. I'm joined by Scotty Goble, and we're here to wrap up the show. It was a great interview with H-Bomb there. I think we got a great insight to what he's all about and where he's going in his future. And it was interesting the stuff he had to say about Gary Wright and how he's looking at the moment, Scotty. And I know you haven't heard the interview yet, but you may listen to it if you get the time in your busy week. But we'll move on and we'll talk about BioFlex Nutrition. They're having a great promotion in the month of December. They're giving away 500 grams of their new BioGreens product, which is a greens blend. You know, you've got spirulina, you've got wheatgrass, you've got barley grass, and heaps of other ones in there. So you get 500 grams of that when you order $200 or more of supplements. So that's obviously a great deal, because that's, especially in stores under other brand names, that's definitely not a cheap product. And also, I want to mention, Scotty, the IFBB missing nationals pitches, they will be up by the time the show is up. If not in completion, the whole gallery, it will be mostly up and mostly finished. So I'll put that on the front page of a website. So go to rxmuscle.com.au. And I also want to give a shout out to the RX Muscle crew for doing such terrific coverage this weekend on the 2012 Masters Mr. Olympia. I think it was probably the best out there, Scotty, and they did, you know, great wrap-up videos of the pre-judging and the finals, and the pitches were up super, super, super quick, which can't be said, obviously, for the IFBB Nationals pitches in Australia.
Yeah, no, I'm just, let's see, October 20th. Yeah, you know, 6 weeks. 6 weeks, it's not bad. It's the age of the internet, you know.
That was terrible. That actually isn't really my fault.
You slightly beat the print media, though, so it's not too bad.
That actually isn't my fault. I've been trying. If you had seen the amount of calls, the sheer volume of calls I've made to try and get that list, I think you'd be impressed, Scotty, so...
Yeah.
But yeah, at least they're going to be up. There's like 5,000 photos, so that tagging task has taken me quite some time as well since I got the list. I didn't realise there's that many friggin' photos. But I want to thank Matt Napik for taking those photos, because he did some excellent photos. So if you compete in that show or know someone that competed in that show, make sure you send them to rxmuscle.com.au, because they'll have a shitload of photos of themselves in the comparison galleries and also the individual pictures. So,
do you put up the absolute all of Matt's photos, even the bad ones? Like, not bad Matt photos, but pictures of people in between poses and stuff like that?
If there's a blurry one, yeah, I do pretty much. I put up pretty much every single one. I might leave out a couple. If some of them are just too in between poses and stuff like that, then I'll leave them out. But if it's a full page of a certain competitor, like there's 20 pictures on a to give people an idea of what it is. There's 20 pictures on a page, so to go through 5,000 photos, there's a lot of pages I have to go through. So if there's all one competitor on one page, I'll just select all and then just tag them and then move on. I won't. Those pages I will not go through individually and find out the bad ones because it will just take too long.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Very interesting. Because there's some competitors that, strategically only release the photos of themselves in their good poses, which hide their weak points or otherwise. So I'll be interested to see these photos.
Yes, there'll be a lot of probably bad photos of some competitors up there, and there'll be a lot of good ones as well. So make sure you check out that. And that's about it for this episode of Aussie Muscle Radio, Scotty. So for Scott Goble, Xavier Wills, and H-Bomb, that's it for RX Muscle Australia. That's Aussie Muscle Radio this week. And with Aussie Muscle Radio, the truth hurts.
Yeah! Aussie Muscle Radio is a presentation of RX Muscle Australia. The truth in Australian bodybuilding. Visit rxmuscle.com.au for all the latest bodybuilding news, videos, contest coverage, and so much more. Tune in next week at this same time for another round with Xavier Wills and Scott Goble. Only on Aussie Muscle Radio.